WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the biggest baseball week we've ever had. We're not even going to play a game until Saturday night. Luke Jones joins us now. We're going to put down the pigskin at this point, and the helmets and the injury reports and the complaints about Ronnie Stanley and worries about the Pittsburgh Steelers and who's going to be their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, this week, and talk some Oriole baseball. Luke, not a damn thing's going to happen this week, except everything's going to happen, right? And we're going to sit around Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, figure this out. I just want to say, from a baseball perspective, it's the first time since I've had the little date minders where I had to keep October clear. We're going to do our Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week over Drug City, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery, with Jiffy Lube and our friends at Window Nation. That's next Friday, the 13th. We'll be there from 2 until 5 doing that at Drug City in Dundalk. But I put the month aside and then the weekend, and just trying to book us flights next week for the ALDS. It started, well, that's going to be Houston and Tampa, right? Well, it's got to be Tampa. Yeah, it's going to be Tampa, unless they beat us, and then all hell breaks loose and we have to play on Tuesday. And I started this airline thing about a month ago, and then the Texas Rangers come in, and then the Astros, who stunk last week, were good this week. The whole thing's been a roller coaster ride for all of these teams, right?
No question about it. And that's why, if you're the Orioles, you like the fact that you won 101 games and you're the number one seed, and you can now sit back, and which is strange. You know, and we haven't talked about this part of it very much. We've mentioned it in passing, but we talked about the need for the bullpen and the pitching's tired and these guys are tired, and they had, 17 straight days without an off day in September until they finally came home early last week. But they're going to sit for 5 days. And Nestor, that's very anti-baseball. You know, that's very counterintuitive to how you think about the game. I mean, it's a day longer than the All-Star break, which is the only extended stretch that you get all season long. So it's going to be fascinating. And look, we saw this last year with Atlanta. We saw this last year with the Dodgers in the National League. You know, two teams who had robust records, and before they know it, they're going home after the division series. So it's something that Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias and these coaches and the players, they're going to have to manage this week. But you'd certainly choose that over the alternative of a best 2 out of 3 that we're going to see with Toronto, or with Tampa Bay and Texas. We're going to see with Toronto and Minnesota, where you could have a bad 24 hours and it's over for you. So you'll gladly take that, but it's just such a unique week because what are you going to do to keep everyone sharp? I mean, we saw Kyle Bradish throw 2 innings on Sunday. He's the probable game one starter. I don't think, no one's talking out of turn expecting that at this point after the season he had. But, beyond him, you're going to be talking about a bunch of guys that, have sat for quite a while by the time they open up this series on Saturday against either Texas or Toronto, or Toronto, Texas or Tampa Bay. See all this craziness.
All the teams. We can't even keep the teams. A lot straight. Of teams. Right.
Exactly.
What's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you and I were talking a week ago at this time. We were thinking it was going to be Tampa and Toronto, and it ended up the Blue Jays, struggled against the Rays over the weekend. And
this is Geddy Lee avoiding me, is what this is. I'm going to tell you right.
Right. Exactly. So, but that's this best of three. That is the wild card round that the Orioles have avoided. It's crazy. I mean, my goodness, when you're talking about, I don't care if you're how good you are. I don't care if you're 10 games better than your opponent. I mean, a best of three, two quality teams, flip a coin. I mean, that's really what it is. And who's hot right now, and whose pitching is in slightly better shape at this stage of the game in October. So, we'll be talking about that as we gain some clarity here as far as who exactly the Orioles are going to be facing in the division series. But in the meantime, sit back and watch. You can rest. Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias align their starting rotation, figure out who's going to be on the roster, figure out the back end of the bullpen. I think we know the top 4, 5, 6 names in the bullpen, but who's going to fill it out after that? And, it's very much an unusual feeling knowing that you've got some massive baseball, but you've got 5 days to not kill time. They're going to use that time wisely, of course, but how do you stay
They think
fresh?
They're going to use it
sharp?
Wisely. They don't really know how to
they
use
hope.
It wisely, right? Literally.
They hope, right. I mean, think about this. I mean, Think about the hitters. You know, I think we focus a lot on the pitching, but and especially talking about the young pitchers and all these guys are over their career max for innings.
If they get their ass kicked this weekend and somehow they get eliminated quickly, and we're like, oh, they shouldn't have given them a week. These guys needed a week off. And I don't know that the starters needed a week off the way they were blowing by the Nationals and the Red Sox. And I think that's a little bit of fool's gold, too. I mean, it's nice to throw in strikes and working fast and getting through this. But, I mean, they are playing teams just wanting to get on a plane and get the season over with, right? I mean, so as good as the starting pitching looked last week, and you say, bring it on, let's play baseball middle of the week, there is a little part for me that I like this rest for them. And sure, psychologically, if they go out and they lose game one, shame on them and whatever. But like, so all these teams are going to lose except one of them over the next 3 weeks, right? That's the way the tournament works. So I'm not as concerned about that. In my perfect world, this is my perfect world. One seed, take the week off, get people healthy, get go take some time, go fish a little bit, go relax a little bit. You know what's coming Saturday. There'll be no problem getting in the car and driving to the ballpark Saturday after going to BP a couple of days this week. There'll be no problem getting ramped up to play the Tampa Rays on Saturday night if that's what you're going to do, right?
Yeah, and look, I mean, and I'll take exception to you saying, you know, shame if they lose game one. Tampa Bay won 99 games. The Texas Rangers, for a large stretch of the season, look like they might be the best team in the American League. So, I mean,
I'm just not going to blame it on 3 days off. I'm not going to blame it on that and say, oh, they got stale. Well, if they got stale, shame on them. Like, you know, they should have got, this should be about rest and about getting your head together to play, go play for a month and play hard and to play the way they've played, the way they've been capable of playing, the way they played every day for 6 months. They don't lose series. They don't get swept. They don't lose two in a row. They have all of these, and they have the pedigree to go after Tampa. They're going to be rested. Tampa's not if they get here. And Tampa and Texas might run each other ragged through Thursday night, right? Like, that could easily happen. So one of these series is going to be one of those, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. People don't want to hear this because everyone wants to think that their team's in control of their destiny and like, oh, we're so great, we can't be beat. Just look at the LA Dodgers over the last 7 years. I've used that example how many different times, Nestor? I mean, they have dominated the regular season, and they have one World Series to show for it. The point is not that the Dodgers are these choke artists or that they've done something wrong in October. It's that it's really tough to do, and the reality is all these teams are good, and there's, you know, it's still a crapshoot at the end of the day. That's why the best part about this week is the Orioles avoided a best of three. The rest, sure, we can talk about that and rust versus rest. And you want to make sure that these guys who are used to hitting 95 mile per hour pitching don't sit too much. You know, they need to stay sharp. Pitchers, same thing. They need to stay sharp. But the real benefit isn't as much the rest. Sure, we can debate that. And that can benefit in some ways. But the real benefit is avoiding playing a best of three series, because we just know the random event that is. You know, you could talk about the Orioles avoiding sweeps, and they've been amazing avoiding sweeps, but they've lost series to bad teams this year. The Rays have lost series to bad teams this year. Texas has lost series to bad teams this year. It's baseball. So the point is you want to avoid that wild card round entirely. And the Orioles did. And that right there puts them ahead of the game. That puts Houston ahead of the game. It puts Atlanta ahead of the game and LA ahead of the game because you avoid that best of three. But on the flip side, there is that very unnatural idea of a bye in baseball that, you know, we've only seen that, you know, this is the second year for it, not counting the, you know, the weirdness of 2020 with the, you know, the expanded playoff field and everything, but there were no byes that year, if you recall. So it's different, but you want to get the rest. You're going to try to play inter-squad games and sim games and live BP and things like that over the course of the week. And then, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, to your point, you hope Tampa Bay, if you're an Orioles fan, you're hoping Tampa Bay and Texas beat the heck out of each other for three games, meaning bullpen overworked and high scoring games. And, you know, they burned through their top three starters and all of that. If you do that, then yeah, you're feeling good about the Orioles, and you're feeling really good about Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez and, you know, John Means. You know, you mentioned the starting pitching. The one thing I'll say, John Means pitching the way that he has since returning from Tommy John surgery, he's looked a lot like John Means. Now, that doesn't mean Cy Young or anything like that, but it gives the Orioles another viable starter. in this rotation. That
on August 1st, when they're out looking for Flaherty and trying to deal for Verlander, Scherzer, like whatever it was going to be, have we said, don't worry, John Means going to come back. He's going to make 3-4 starts in September. He's going to carry a no-hitter into the city, like all of that. That if John Means had done this all year, they might have won 108 games, right? Literally.
Right, sure. And you just said it. I mean, and I'll also say, and I'm glad you mentioned this because I wanted to at least mention this in passing. Go take a look at some of the pitchers that were dealt at the trade deadline. Jack Flaherty wasn't the only one who struggled. Lorenzen, he threw the no-hitter for the Phillies. Go look at what his ERA was after that the rest of the way. I mean, to the point where I don't know how he's going to fit into their postseason plans. Dylan Cease, there was so much talk about the Orioles trading for him. Go look at what his record was, what his ERA was the rest of the way after the trade deadline.
Jackson Holliday for him. Stop.
But we've talked about this. That's why I've said, and it's no fun, and everyone's, you're just being a wet blanket about the trade deadline. More often than not, most of those deals end up either not moving the needle, or in some cases, they end up being a negative. You know, Jack Flaherty, I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's even going to be in the bullpen on this postseason roster. I mean, that's just where they are. But there are other teams that made deals that didn't work out too well either. So, you know, you're trying to project something that at the end of the day is going to be an unknown. And just like the Orioles were hoping Jack Flaherty pitched well and he did it, on the flip side, they had no reasonable expectation that John Means was going to come back and look like John Means. Not saying I thought he'd pitch poorly, but I didn't think it'd look as good as it's looked. And I think what's encouraging about it, Nestor, is I would say for the most part, maybe this last start, be tough to say it was as good as he was in Cleveland, but for the most part, you know, you feel like he's gotten a little bit better with each start too. And, you know, from his first one when he came back, which was solid, it was okay. You know, against what, the Cardinals, I guess it was. But, you know, he's looked a little bit better and the velocity's ticked up a little bit, you know, a little more swing and miss. You know, he's dumped in some breaking balls, which, you know, that was never his biggest strength. I mean, he's always been fastball change. I mean, that's really been Means as bread and butter. I mean, that changeup has been his best pitch, you know, from over the course of his tenure with the Orioles. So, but you get a guy who at this point, I mean, he's going to be in the postseason rotation. Is he going to start game two? Is he going to start game three, game four? You know, however they want to arrange their starters. We'll see how it plays out. My only assumption at this point, and Brandon Hyde didn't confirm this over the weekend, but my assumption is Bradish is going to start game one. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to think that, but you know, how do they want to, you know, where do they want to slot Grayson Rodriguez in? Where do they want to put Means? You know, is it Kyle Gibson or Dean Kramer, you know, for that fourth spot? So they've got a week now to figure that out. And a lot of that is going to be dependent on whether they're facing the Rays, who they know very well. Although the Rays, even since the last time the Orioles played them, they lost Brandon Lau, another injury for them. But
yeah, I'm wondering, you know, who do we want? I mean, do you really want Texas thinking we want to avoid Tampa? Or like, I think what, to your point, you want a 3-game series that ends late into the night on Thursday, yeah, and a really, really beleaguered winning team is what you want.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the best way you can frame it. I mean, both of those teams are good. Everyone in the postseason is good. Even the Minnesota Twins, Nestor, everyone, they're almost like the punchline of this field. Go take a look at what the Twins record has been since September 1st. They had a really nice final month of the season, and they pitch well, and they played really well over the last 5-6 weeks. They had a solid August too. You know, do not dismiss the Minnesota Twins, even though they're 87-75, and you know they're the weak link of this field. So we saw this with Kansas City in 2014. The Orioles, not so much the current Orioles, but Orioles fans know this very well. No one was talking about the Kansas City Royals at the beginning of the 2014 postseason. I mean, they were the team that was losing in the wild card game. And before you know it, they're going to the World Series. So it is all about who's healthy, who pitches well, whose bats get hot at the right time, and just who's playing the cleanest baseball and who gets hot at the right time. And you hope that's the Orioles. And look, this team, there's no reason to think they can't be that team. But at the same time, just like any other team in this field, yeah, they've got things that you have questions about. You have questions about, you know, do they have enough dominance on the back end of the bullpen, you know, to protect a one-run lead against whoever you're facing, you know, Tampa or Texas or even getting to the ALCS. You have questions about the starting pitching beyond, let's say, Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez, who, by the way, have never been on this stage. So even them, how are they going to respond to that? It's a fair question, just like it is for anyone who's on this stage for the first time. And yeah, the offense, we saw an offense that was a little more, felt a little more hot and cold in September, right? They had some stretches where they mashed the baseball, but they also had some stretches where they struggled to score runs. And I don't care so much about over the weekend against the Red Sox. I mean, those are spring training games. You know, I mean, they were playing out the string the last three games. Brandon Hyde's primary objective was to get some bullpen arms some work and to not get anyone hurt over the final weekend. And they accomplished that.
I called it pumpkin baseball, not grapefruit, just sort of the pumpkin league. Right.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. There you go. So I, not so much that, but they did have some periods of time over the last three, 4 weeks where the offense was up and down. So you hope that they have an up phase as they get into the division series. So it's a lot of excitement, a lot of unknown, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And look, 101 wins, best regular season Orioles team since 1979. I mean, one of the very best in franchise history in terms of wins and losses. I mean, it's been such a fun season, but there's no guarantee that they're going to play all month either. So enjoy this ride. Enjoy this. Don't take it for granted. Nothing, just enjoy the ride because it's tough. Playoff baseball, I mean, this is a young team at the end of the day. And that's not to say that I don't think they can handle it. But to your point, there's only going to be one team happy at the end. And we know that. We've talked about that for years with the Ravens in the playoffs and how that can go, especially how it's gone even in the Lamar Jackson era specifically. So, you know, it's about that time. And we've talked about this. We've daydreamed about this, my gosh, for a few years with this current era with the rebuild and Mike Elias and all of that. It's here. The time's now for them to try to seize the moment and take advantage and see if they can bring a World Series back to Baltimore for the first time in 40 years, which just to be able to say that, you know, it's very rare when we've even been able to talk about that over the last 40 years. A few times you can count on one hand and have fingers left over. That's how rare it's been. So enjoy this moment, but also realizing that, hey, this could end very quickly, or it could be that magic ride, not into late October, but even early November.
All right. So, Luke, because we're new at this postseason baseball thing, bring everybody up to speed on when we'll know if Jack Flaherty's on the roster or what the edges of the roster are going to look like, and concerns on the edges of the roster. To your point, Means is going to be on the team. That's going to push somebody off that wouldn't have a month ago. We weren't even talking about this. And you reset, right? Like players to play this week, next week, ALCS, you play the Twins or whatever. It'll be different, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You set a new roster for each series. They don't have to do it until that day. I mean,
it comes from your 40 man though, right? And Jorge Lopez was famously not available, right? Because they dealt for him too late.
Right, right. And anyone that's not in your – basically, look, it's technically your 40-man roster, but basically the practical rule is every team has guys on the IL, right? Every team has injured players. And even if it's someone that's not on your 40-man roster, like Heston Kerstad was a good example of this. And look, is he going to be on the roster or not? We'll find out. But – because you're in a position that you have injured guys, and Felix Bautista is an example of this. We finally learned over the weekend that he officially is going to have Tommy John and not going to pitch. No one was really expecting him to pitch. It was a pipe dream all along, as Mike Elias said. But as long as someone's in your organization before September 1st, basically you can make it work that they can be eligible for the postseason. Jorge Lopez, as we said at the time of his acquisition, was not, that was after September 1st. He did not pitch well anyway, and he was DFA'd over the weekend. I'm guessing chances are he's probably not going to be claimed, and they'll outright him to Norfolk. He'll be in spring training with them next year. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. But, roster set when the series starts. You don't have to do it 5 days in advance or anything like that. So they will, the Orioles are becoming more and more like the Ravens in that way, that they're not going to announce it ahead of time. That's just not how they're going to operate. Mike Elias is going to be tactical in the way that Eric DaCosta is with those types of things. The roster, which was 28 in September, it goes back to 26. But keep in mind, the roster construction is going to be a little bit different. In a five-game series, you're only going to have a four-man starting rotation. So inherently, you know, whether it's Dean Kramer or Kyle Gibson, whoever you assume is not going to be in the starting rotation for the division series, they go to the bullpen. And, you know, then you have another pitcher to deploy there. So because it's a five-game series and you play game one, game two off, game three, game four, you know, you have some off days built in here. So are you going to have, you know, a typical bullpen during the regular season? For the most part, the Orioles went 13-13, you know, 13 pitchers and an 8-man bullpen. I'm not counting when they went 6-man rotation. So are you going to have that big of a bullpen, knowing that odds are whoever that eighth guy is, that, you know, or heaven forbid, if you have nine, is that guy really going to pitch? You know, unless the game's 10-0, that guy's probably never even going to be in consideration to pitch. So, you know, do you want to go with a couple extra position players? So, you know, these are the things that every team weighs. And, you know, the wild card series is even, you know, even more dramatic in terms of it's a 3-game series. So how do you want to structure your roster with just a 3-game series, even though there's no off days in between those three? So, you know, we're going to see how it plays out. I think, you know, roster concerns or questions on the edges, you know, my question for them position player wise is, you know, is Heston Kerstad on the playoff roster, or do you go with someone like a Ryan McKenna, speed and defense off the bench? You know, Mateo, we've talked about the fact that he's been an Oriole for the last 2 months with this in mind, with him being on the postseason roster, because we know he hasn't played very much otherwise. So, you know, you weigh those decisions. But on the pitching side, you know, I think you look at where they are with their bullpen, and it did come into focus a little more this past week. Tyler Wells looked really good coming back from Norfolk. He's going to be in the bullpen. You know, obviously you have Cano, you have CNL Perez, who you hope Sunday was an outlier. He couldn't throw strikes on Sunday. Kind of looked like the Perez we saw in the first half of the season. So you hope, just being a meaningless game, that it's not a big deal. But DL Hall, Jacob Webb, I mentioned Wells, Danny Coulomb, of course. And, you know, then you get down to, okay, I'm, for the sake of this discussion, I'll say that Gibson's their number four starter. That puts Dean Kramer in the bullpen. You know, it could be the other way around. And then you kind of come down to that last spot, presumably the last spot in the bullpen. Do you go with Fuji? Thinking, you know, if you get to a point where it's game three and your starters haven't gone very deep and guys are already tired, and you roll the dice that you get the good Fuji out of the pen because you need someone who can strike someone out? Or do you go with a Jack Flaherty and see if he can be better out of the pen? I don't know. A week ago, I would have thought the Flaherty idea in the bullpen had some appeal, but the Orioles didn't really proceed in a way that made you think that that's something that was – that they were excited about. You know, you didn't see him pitching.
How are you going to get excited about bringing him into a 5-4 game in the seventh inning?
I understand
the season on the line. I mean, I just don't think he's a guy that, especially coming out of the bullpen for guys who aren't bullpen guys, right? Like, psychologically, this is something I learned covering baseball 30 years ago. Guys that are starting pitchers, when you put them in a position, and Tyler Wells would be a good example of somebody that they took 2 months working on him to make sure that if they call his number on Sunday, they're getting what they think they're going to get out of him, right? These are smart guys. The guys that run this team are smart.
No, I hear you. At the same time, Zach Eflin pitched really well for the Phillies out of the bullpen last year and still parlayed that into the contract he got with the Rays to be a
some
starter.
Some guys can do it. Other guys can do it. Yeah.
Right. And let's be clear. I'm not saying that I have a high degree of confidence, or a week ago that I had a high degree of confidence in Jack Flaherty in that role. I was looking at him as a wild card because – the thing that I just rang off all those names. They don't have guys who strike people out. And you're playing close games in October. And when you're playing 1- and 2-run games in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning
of
postseason games, you got to miss bats. Mm-hmm. So now it was good to see Cano strike a few more out over the last week. Maybe he's kind of gotten himself back in a swing and miss mode with some of his stuff. Tyler Wells did strike some people out. You know, DL Hall's got an arm to do it, you know, and certainly he's capable of doing it, but, you know, he's a rookie, you know. I mean, it's that's a fair question. You know, you have to question it. You know, Felix Bautista, even with a torn UCL, is not walking through that door. We know that officially now. So you're missing that. And that doesn't mean they can't win. That doesn't mean they can't be successful. That doesn't mean they can't get to the World Series. But if you're asking me to kind of size up and handicap the teams that are best equipped to make a deep October run, typically it's having relievers who can strike people out. And the Orioles, you know, they have a couple guys who can do that. You know, Jacob Webb has missed, you know, a good number of bats since he came over in early August. But, you know, that's where I do have some fascination. You know, maybe, all right, let's say it's not Jack Flaherty. Dean Kramer. Kevin Gausman in 2014 was a starter until the postseason, and then they put him in the bullpen. People kind of forget because they had Britton and Andrew Miller and Darren O'Day and Brad Brock and even Tommy Hunter. Go back and look. Kevin Gausman gave them some good work out of the bullpen in that 2014 postseason. So, you know, it might be a Dean Kramer who, let's lay out the scenario right now. Whoever's starting game two, you know, whether it's Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, whoever it is. Let's say they run into some trouble and they're pulled in the fourth inning. That would not be shocking. That's how postseason baseball works. Starters aren't going six or seven innings. They're just not. In that scenario, is it that impossible to think about Dean Kramer coming in and giving them two and a third and striking out four guys? I tell you, if he can do that, boy, that helps their chances in terms of making a deeper October run. So, you know, you do have to be, you know, creative in your thinking. And that you're right. You're absolutely right, Nestor. I agree with you. Not every starter can do that. And certainly I'm not suggesting Dean Kramer is going to be a guy that's pitching back to backs and pitching the ninth inning or anything like that. But you know, if you can identify a starter that can kind of be a swing man for you, especially knowing that playoff baseball is handled so much differently from a pitching perspective, knowing that suddenly the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings are viewed in a different way than you view them in August or in June, you know, it very much does become interesting to see if, you know, Dean Kramer, who can strike people out, you know, he strikes people out as a starter, put him in a shortened up role, that he might be able to contribute two good outings for you in the division series, you know, if it goes five games, let's say. So, you know, those are the things that you're weighing right now. And I think you're Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde. Certainly you have, you know, you have to wait and you're projecting right now. Okay. What are the matchups? What are going to be our best matchups against Texas? What are going to be our best matchups against the Rays? You know, who's more right-handed, who's more left-handed with their lineup. I mean, you're looking at all these different things and you're looking at all the splits and all the numbers, but you know, a lot of it's still going to come down to who was throwing well at the end of the season and who's throwing well coming out of the gate. Who's going to throw well after a 5-day break? You know, we've going back to that notion. I mean, there are a lot of variables at work here, and you know, that's why it's so difficult to predict. It's why in baseball, rarely, you know, quite often, I don't want to say rarely, but quite often the best team doesn't win. And that's not to scare Orioles fans here or to say that I think they can't win, because I think they can. But it's a lot at work here. You know, a lot of moving parts and so many guys who, quite frankly, haven't been here. And that could be their advantage, mind you. You know, how many times have we said all year that maybe these guys are too young and just ignorant enough to not realize that they're not supposed to be this good this soon? You know, maybe they can carry that over to October. I mean, my goodness, how much fun would that be? So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But between now and Saturday, a lot of decision-making, a lot of options to weigh in terms of how they want their roster and their pitching staff to look.
And a lot of baseball to watch as mm-hmm. we get ready for the Rangers or the Blue Jays. And then over on the other side, the Astros sit around and wait after what was a choppy year for them. We will be playing baseball here on Saturday afternoon, I guess, if Billy Joel's going to play Saturday night, Stevie Nicks. We'll learn more about that during the course of the week. Any breaking news you get first on the WNST Tech Service, brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning before the Orioles game, I'll say, on Sunday, and before the Steelers game, because the Orioles and the Ravens are both going to play on Sunday. That much I'm pretty sure of. The other part about this is rain and weather and domes and moving pitching and late night games and all the wackiness that the baseball playoffs seem to always sort of bring at some point. Weather and it gets colder as the month goes along as well, although it's going to be 80 around here this week. Would have been nice to play wild card games here this week, but it's even nicer watching others play. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out at Baltimore Luke on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those places. I am me out on all the places in social media that you can find us. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery and Win Donation and our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube Multicare, next Friday the 13th. It's not bad luck. It's the day before my birthday. It's the day before Stacy Keebler's birthday. Wes Moore's birthday is the same day as Jim Palmer next weekend. And Wes Moore got up and applauded a lease that isn't really a lease. And I've been emailing with him, and I'll be getting with our governor as well before it's all over with. I will not lose sight on the big picture, which is the owner's a little bit of a creep, don't you think? And this will be a time to write to Rob Manfred about these things, because I'm assuming that the commissioner is going to come see what Camden Yards looks like at some point here if we play enough baseball later on in the month as well. So I have a Dear Rob Manfred columnist coming out, as well as a columnist off of the Browns game. You can read all of Luke's writings this week. He will be watching batting practice and Owings Mills practice, as it is Steelers week here, but we're calling it Baltimore Baseball Week. It's playoffs. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.